This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. My guest this morning is Jasmine Minbassian, Special Projects Director for Conservation Northwest. Jasmine Minbassian is here today to evaluate wolf conservation in Washington State and tell us about wolf bills in the 2013 Washington State legislative session. Welcome, Jasmine.
Thanks, Diane.
Would you like to begin by saying a few words about Conservation Northwest?
Conservation Northwest is an organization based in Washington State. We also work in British Columbia, and our overarching mission is really to keep wild places connected so that wildlife that need large areas to roam will still have that into the future. In short, that we're trying to keep the Cascades wild.
Why are wolves important to Washington State and to our Northwest ecosystems?
Well, wolves are, like I mentioned earlier, they're one of those animals that do need large areas to roam. They have, in many cases, large home ranges. And so they need connected habitat to survive. So in some ways, if we are able to have wolves on our landscape, it's a sign that we're doing something right, that there's still some land out there wild enough to have species like wolves and, in other cases, wolverine or grizzlies still in our mountains. So they're a symbol that we still have wild places. In some cases as well, wolves play an important role in the ecosystem. They're a top predator, and a top predator has many effects down the food chain that affect the environment. There's been some studies out of Yellowstone that suggest that the return of wolves have restored some of the habitat near streams and rivers. And in turn, beavers have returned, and they've created more habitat for songbirds and other species, cooler water for fish. So there's a trickle-down effect, if you will, from wolves being back on the landscape. And we're hoping to see some of those same responses here in Washington's mountains.
Before we talk about how wolves are faring currently, would you briefly review the history of wolves in Washington State?
Wolves were largely wiped out around the turn of the century, and for the last 70 years, we didn't think we had any wolves at all in Washington, and it was in 2008 where one of Conservation Northwest's remote cameras — we have a wildlife camera program, we put out cameras to try and document the presence of rare and endangered species — and one of our cameras documented 6 wolf pups, and it was pretty amazing. So we worked with the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, and they were able to track wolves down and confirm that these were indeed wild wolves. So that was the first documented pack in nearly 100 years in our state.
What is the current status of wolves in Washington State? How many wolves do we have here, and how are they faring?
We've got anywhere between, depending on how you do your estimate, but we've got at least 50 wolves, probably more up towards 100, somewhere in there. We've got about 8 packs, and 4 more are suspected packs, so we have as many as possibly 12 packs. Most of those packs are found in eastern third of the state. In the Cascades, we've got 2 documented packs, one near the Metow Valley and one further south, just outside of Cleellum. And so that's basically the current state. I know that the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife is right now in the process of doing their annual surveys, so we may have some updated information here in the near future.
How do you monitor for wolves? You mentioned the remote cameras, but what else?
Well, there are many different ways to try and track wolves, but remote cameras is, I'd say, one of the easiest and most cost-effective ways and simplest ways. The department has a lot of resources invested at this early stage of recovery in our state. They're also using planes to fly over the landscape to help spot wolves, and then they have field staff on the ground that actually is working to try and capture wolves to place collars on them. And that's a much more intensive effort that Conservation Northwest is not involved in. We leave that to the agency staff to deal with that.
So the wolves that are coming into Washington State, where are they coming from?
That's a really interesting question. Wolves in the eastern part of the state, in northeast Washington, are primarily coming from Idaho and to the north from the Canadian Rockies. But the DNA research for the wolves in the Cascades have shown that those wolves are also related to BC coastal wolves. And you can see that in the way they look. Generally, coastal wolves are a little smaller, and they're a little more reddish-brown. And many of the wolves that we've documented in the Cascades look very similar to BC coastal wolves.
What do wolves need in order to thrive?
Wolves are habitat generalists, meaning that they can survive just about anywhere where they're left alone. Their biggest threat to wolf survival are really people, or as some like to say, metal, in the form of either bullets or cars. The biggest threat are from wolves just getting shot or wolves getting hit by a car on highways and roads. And we've already lost wolves here in our state to both those ways. We've had wolves in Northeast Washington found dead on the road, having been hit by cars. And we've had wolves in the Cascades, a whole pack lost to illegal killing, to poaching, if you will. So people are really the biggest threat to wolves. So the best habitat for wolves is really a place where they can be left alone.
Who has responsibility for oversight of wolves in Washington State?
Well, in Washington State, the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife is responsible for recovering and managing wolves. In the western two-thirds of the state, they're still currently listed under the Federal Endangered Species Act. So the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service still plays a role in their management, but they've largely deferred the on-the-ground operations to the state.
Washington State's Wolf Recovery and Management Plan was adopted in December of 2011. What are the key elements of that plan?
Well, the plan really is a recovery plan, so it guides the process of recovering wolves in our state. It's not necessarily a long-term management plan, but it basically sets out the conservation framework for recovery. It specifically defines what a recovered population in the state looks like. And in this case, they've defined it as 15 breeding pairs distributed throughout the state. So it's not enough to have 15 breeding pairs in the eastern half. We also need breeding wolves in the South Cascades and Olympics, as well as in the North Cascades. So once we achieve that, wolves will be considered recovered. What it also does is provide tools to help prevent conflicts with people, basically with ranchers and with sportsmen. So it provides a whole framework for addressing any potential conflicts that could arise by having wolves back on the landscape. And it also provides for some opportunities for environmental education and learning about wolves back on the landscape and what that means for our state. So it's a pretty comprehensive document, and it was developed by a very large and diverse group of folks, all with different interests. So it had a lot of citizen involvement, and I think it's turned out to be a very good document. I'd say it's one of the best wolf recovery plans in the West. So Washington should be really proud of itself for using this consensus approach and coming up with a really good plan.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Jasmine Benbassian, Special Projects Director for Conservation Northwest. Our topic is wolf conservation in Washington State and wolf bills in the 2013 Washington State Legislative Session. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP 90.3 FM and on the web at kexp.org. Would you say more about how well the state's wolf plan has worked out so far?
Well, we're just in the very beginning stages. I should say the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife is in the very beginning stages of implementing the conservation and management plan, but I'd say so far it's mostly been going very well. There were some very early bumps in the road last summer when there was a conflict between a livestock operator in Northeast Washington and the Wedge Pack. I'm sure a lot of listeners may have heard about this. It got a lot of media coverage, but it basically presented the worst case scenario, and it really tested the plan. For the most part, I'd say the plan held up, but it did really highlight for the public and for the department areas that needed to be strengthened. Specifically, there needed to be more accountability to the public on what livestock producers are going to do to prevent conflicts from occurring so that we don't have to have the outcome that happened last summer, which was that an entire pack had to be removed. It was quite tragic, and it's something that no one wants to see happen again. So since then, there's been a lot of discussion, a lot of dialogue among the conservation community and among livestock operators on how do we avoid that from happening again. And I'm pleased that out of that tragedy has come some really positive discussion and some good solutions. We're seeing the result of that now in the state legislature.
Would you say just a little bit more about what actually happened with the Wedge Pact? How many livestock were killed?
Yeah, with the Wedge Pact, there was continuous reports of attacks on livestock starting in about July and going through the summer. And the problem there was that the initial attacks were very uncharacteristic of wolves. If they were wolves, it seemed to be wolves that really didn't know how to attack livestock very effectively. So it created a lot of question about what really was going on. Later in the summer, it became much clearer that indeed wolves were attacking livestock, which made the decision-making process much clearer. But the tragedy in all of it was that during that whole time, a lot of time was spent debating the evidence, and not as much effort was put into preventing this problem from getting worse. So the problem did become worse, and it got to a point where the wolves were repeatedly attacking livestock, and one of the only solutions was to remove the pack. So that's a situation that we're desperately trying to avoid from happening again. And the way we do that is by being proactive at the beginning of the grazing season. So making sure that all ranchers who are grazing within wolf territories have access to tools that will prevent conflicts like that from occurring. And there's many things you can do. And hopefully after this state's legislative session, there'll be a lot of resources available as well to help ranchers with those tools.
Could you just mention very briefly a few of the specific tools?
So some of the tools that can be used to prevent conflicts include some very simple, actually they're quite ancient tools that have been used for quite a long time, such as flagging. Flagging around pastures and areas where cows are grazing has shown to be really effective at deterring wolves. For some reason, they don't like crossing areas where there's flagging. But not all areas are small enough to flag. So in cases of larger grazing areas, range riders have been proven to be very effective. And Conservation Northwest partnered with a rancher in Northeast Washington and the department to institute the state's first ever range rider pilot program. So we helped sponsor basically a cowgirl, in this case, whose sole job was to spend the summer out with the herd, monitor the herd, move the herd, and in cases where they were coming into conflict with wolves or getting too close to wolves' territory, to keep them apart, to keep them separate. And I'm really happy to report that it was a success. We didn't see any conflicts arise with that pack or that rancher's herd of cows that summer. So now we're looking to expand that program this season to other areas where we have wolves. And we really feel like this is a pretty tried and true method for reducing conflict. Other examples include herding dogs. There's just some good husbandry practices, like delaying turnout of your young calves until they're a little older and can defend themselves more easily. And also just keeping a clean ranch. So any dead cattle or carcasses, removing those right away so they don't become attractants to pull in wolves and where they learn to like the taste of beef.
Let's talk now about wolf bills being considered in the 2013 Washington State Legislature. Which of the wolf bills that are in play do you support?
Well, there's quite a few we support, and there's quite a few we don't. There's a lot of bills, but really the bills that are going to move forward in this legislative session are the ones that have the most support on both sides. And that really comes down to two different bills. One would establish a new wolf plate. So, you know, all the vanity plates that you see out there on cars, pictures of eagles or elk and or orca. If this bill passed, you could buy a license plate with a picture of a wolf on it, and that money would go towards helping recover wolves in Washington State. So that's a bill we definitely support, and it has broad support. And then another bill that we also support just helps provide more funding for some of those preventative methods that I had just mentioned. So making sure they're dedicated funds to help with both compensating ranchers who've lost livestock and also implementing preventative measures to just avoid the conflicts in the first place. So those are the two bills I think have the strongest chance of passing this session and that we're working the hardest to make sure that they do.
What were some of the bills that you're against that perhaps don't have a chance of passing?
Well, unfortunately, every session we see a host of what I call the crazy bills that are really some of the more extreme ideas regarding wolves that are out there. And a couple examples in this session are, one, I think it's called the county emergency bill. So anytime there's any kind of incident with wolves depredating on cattle, it would give the county the ability to declare a state of emergency, and it would take the management of wolves out of the hands of the Department of Wildlife, essentially, and allow county sheriffs to deal with wolves. And this is just a bad idea because most sheriffs aren't trained wildlife biologists. They're not equipped in wildlife management. And so you set yourself up to create a bigger problem rather than solve the problem. Another bill that we don't support is a bill that would basically remove state endangered protection for wolves in the eastern third of Washington. And we believe that's premature, that we have a wolf conservation plan that guides recovery and that citizens have worked on that has defined when the right time that would be. And that bill would basically ignore the plan and legislate its own ideas. So we don't support that. And then lastly, there's an interesting bill that's gotten a lot of attention, and that's a bill by Senator Kratz that would basically relocate wolves from Northeast Washington to anywhere in the western half of the state, and specifically the Olympic Peninsula or any island of at least 50 square miles. And I think this bill was introduced by Senator Kratz as kind of a joke bill, if you will, to say, hey, people in King County, if you like wolves so much, here you can have them. But it has raised a real issue of translocation being an important tool for wolf recovery. There are issues about how are we going to get wolves to the Olympics. Translocation is a tool that is allowed in the current management plan to speed recovery efforts. And if we did use translocation, we could get to a situation where we have a recovered population much more quickly. And ironically, that's something that everyone supports. So if anything, that bill, while it's not being taken seriously, it has jump-started the conversation about translocating wolves to speed recovery in the state.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
I'd like to leave your listeners with the message that wolf recovery is often perceived as a very polarized, controversial topic. And that seems to be what gets most of the attention in the media. But really, what's going to save wolves in the long run is people getting beyond the polarization, really trying to sit down, understand different points of view, and work together to come up with solutions for living with wolves in the long run. And that is going to bear the most fruit. So I urge listeners who are passionate about wolves to do their best to try and build common ground with people they might not have a lot in common with. And that's a strategy I think is going to help wolves in the long run.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Jasmine.
Thank you for having me.
You were just listening to Jasmine Manbassian, Special Projects Director for Conservation Northwest. For more information, check on the web at conservationnw.org. Again, that's conservationnw.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archive section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on Demand, and then Podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on 90.3 FM and kexp.org.